Spoiler alert, if
Yes.
you have not finished the What If series on Disney Plus, shame on you, first of all. Secondly, you might want to tune out until you do.
Making families, geeks. It's more than a linear podcast. It's a prism of endless possibilities. I am the maker. I am your guide through this vast new reality. Follow me as this podcast ponders the question, what if?
What if?
What if? What's up, gentlemen?
What's up?
Feels like it's been forever since we've talked.
It has.
It has.
Even like our Discord channel has been eerily quiet this last week. I'm just going to assume that we've all had so much stuff going on that we haven't even had a chance to check in with each other.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Last week was totally my fault.
Well, let's not say fault, but we all have other things that we have to attend to sometimes. And I think that's kind of probably a more honest type of a reason. But we're back together. So how are you guys doing this week? What have you guys been up to?
I have been using my Glowforge a little bit more. My son made a little ornament, which was kind of cool. I don't have the ornament here, but I've got the image that he drew. I'm holding it up here for the... well, it's cropping it off. So he drew like a little picture. I'm holding it up for the
Tron.
People watching at home. It's a it's supposed to be Link. From Legend of Zelda.
Oh, it's backwards. That's why
it's reversed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, I made that into a little ornament for him. He thought that was super cool. And then I actually wanted to try out stamp making on the Glowforge. And it's very messy, but it does a good job.
I've done that too.
Messy as in like gooey or?
Just the powder and dust.
Powder and dust. I did vaporize some of it too much, and it actually started melting. The speed was too slow, and actually did start liquefying the rubber. It turns white if it's liquefied, which is interesting.
It is.
Wasn't the effect I'm going for.
Did I ever give you the spreadsheet that gets passed around in the community for all the settings for all the stuff?
No, that sounds good.
It's been extremely helpful and has made a huge difference. Let me make sure I get that to you. I'll get that to you tonight.
Okay. Sounds good. That'd be cool.
So that's what you've been up to?
That is what I have been up to. What have you guys been up to?
I have been working on a laser cut box for a client. My brother-in-law is a professional photographer, and he had asked for a box to give to a couple for as a kind of like a bonus for like the wedding pictures that they purchased. So I did a laser cut slide top box out of walnut plywood. And so I figured out how to do all that in the plans out of completely laser cut. Even the foam insert is a laser cut EVA foam that then I wrapped with like a fabric and stuff. And I'll be posting pictures on my story the next day or so. I don't know if the people follow me, so I don't want them to see it ahead of time. Because the box top is engraved with their name and everything. Took about three versions to get everything dialed in. Even now, my tolerances are probably a tad bit too tight, but it came out and it looks nice and it works. I think it's the first time I've ever really produced a box like this, so it's kind of a cool problem solving it. So that's on the making front, that's what I've been up to. And yesterday I had surgery, so if you guys hear me breathing a little bit differently during the podcast, it's because I'm trying to stave off the pain and the discomfort, yeah, even just sitting down. So that's what I've been up to.
Well, good thing tonight's topic is totally serious, not humorous at all. Otherwise, you'd be in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, coughing, sneezing, laughing, all those things are really kind of not very conducive. Even worse, I'm scared of pooping.
You well, haven't yet?
You know
no.
How many times we've done that during the podcast?
I know, but I'm just saying in general, because, you know, one push, I'm afraid it's going to be like, you know, game over. Probably too much information, but that's been my week. Ow. I'm making myself laugh. That's not good. You can go ahead and go.
Okay. Honestly, it's been a rough couple weeks for me. A lot of things are changing. I've been really trying to figure out how to make this whole making thing profitable. I've found a couple of local people to work with that I've been cutting awards and stuff out on the laser cutter. So my laser cutter has been like going nonstop for a while. I had a lady want me to cut her an ornament, and then I cut her another ornament, and then I cut her an award for her fitness class, and then I cut 30 awards for her fitness class, and now they want 60 more. So it's good that I'm getting return work, but it just hasn't been enough. So I've been trying to find more sources of income from this endeavor. And I signed up for a company called Brand Connect, which some people have heard of. It's basically one of those companies that goes out and finds sponsors for content creators. So they're like a middleman. I don't know, but they do the job of finding sponsors for you, basically. So I signed up for that service a few weeks ago and found out that they haven't found anyone that wants to work with me, and so that was super bumming. And then this week, I realized that I have to find a job and go back to working a 9-to-5 and put off being a full-time maker. And so I had to start that project, and to kind of distract myself from the suckiness of all that going on, I decided to make a present for my dentist, because he was having an open house tonight. He bought a new building and remodeled it, and you know, it's kind of weird how much I like my dentist. I think he's super cool, which dentists typically aren't people that you think, oh, he's super cool. No, my dentist is like super cool. He's kind of a hipster. He's a closet geek. He's super nice. I have enjoyed him ever since I first went to him. Gosh. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that. And anyways, him and I have become friends over the years. And I found out that one of his favorite games of all time was the original Legend of Zelda. He doesn't game a lot now, but he still loves playing OG Legend of Zelda. And since he is a dentist, anybody that watched my Instagram stories would see this. I recreated the opening scene from Legend of Zelda where he goes into the cave. And instead of the old man, I made an 8-bit version of my dentist. And then I put, it's dangerous to brush alone, take this. And Link is holding up a thing of dental floss. And before I jumped on here, I was actually at his open house presenting him with his present. So that was a fun little distraction to do.
You like it?
Yeah, he loved it. Nice. He loved it. It was fantastic. Admittedly, it looks better than I thought it was going to look. I always worry that my stuff isn't going to look as good in reality as I think it will in my head. But actually looked really good. I'm very proud of how it turned out. The floss pack, I wish it was a different floss container, package, whatever you want to call it. But it is what it is. And, you know, it gets the point across. So it's going to be hanging in his office. So I'm going to have to go. I'm going to go stop by tomorrow and take a picture of my work hanging in somebody's dental office. That's the things you do.
It's a really cool experience seeing your work, whatever it has, whatever it is that you've created, in a public place. Last week, I think it was last week, I went to a Nicaraguan restaurant in LA with family. And a sign that we had seen like 2 years ago was hanging up on the wall of the restaurant. And I'd completely forgotten about it. My wife pointed it out to me. I'm like, oh my God, that's right. We did about like 50 of those signs at one point. And it was really cool seeing. Not only that, but you know, I know that a lot of the stuff that I make for videos is just for videos sometimes. So whenever I make something for somebody else to hang up in their house, there's a certain type of anxiety of, oh my God, is this going to hold up? How is it going to look a year from now? And yeah. It was a piece of CNC'd cedar that was sealed and spray painted in where it was engraved. So there's no reason for it not to really hold up, but still, it's kind of nice seeing that it looks just as good right now as it did when we gave it to them.
Yeah, I took a bottle of super glue with me just in case anything happened to pop off in transit or during the event, but nothing did. So I wasn't actually going to make a video out of it, but I realized that with my financial situation being what it is and having to go back to work again, it's probably going to be a while before I can make another project. And so this will be my last video for a while. So I wanted to make a fun one. Should be a fun one. I hope it'll be a fun one. So yeah, on that bright note, what are we talking about tonight, guys?
Oh, dentists.
Well, I think we're going to talk about some endless possibilities.
Yes. So spoiler alert. Yes. If you have not finished the What If series on Disney Plus, shame on you, first of all. Secondly, you might want to tune out until you do. Because we're going to talk about all the different possibilities within the show and for the future.
Pause this video and go finish watching it.
Yes.
Or start watching it for that matter.
That's yes. We'll still be here when you get back.
Well, yeah, let's start with that. Would you recommend this series to a Marvel fan?
Absolutely.
Donovan? No? Yes? Donovan loved it. Okay, next. Okay,
a Marvel fan with kids? I would not recommend it for kids.
Huh.
We learned that on episode 3. And it was solidified in episode 4. So I would not recommend it for kids because it'll give them nightmares.
You know, I think we should talk about that, though, too. Maybe even like towards the end a little bit. Because I think that a lot of people have a misconception of what Marvel is and what Marvel is supposed to be. So maybe that's something we should talk about towards the end after we kind of wade through What If.
funny.
I guess so. I wasn't intended to. So how do you want to kick this off? Overall I liked it. Overall I liked it. That's kind of like my general statement about it. How about you, Wes?
Overall I loved it. I thought it was. It wasn't really on the top tier as far as like anticipated shows, but I quickly fell in love with the animation style and like the effects and just like, I guess you would call it choreography or the shot direction and stuff. Just, you know, is that the right terminology, Donovan, for animated show?
Yeah,
whatever the closest to like fight choreography for animated show would be. Like, I thought it was very snappy and easy to follow. Like the movements and like the staging and stuff and the poses were really dynamic. And I wish that a lot of action scenes for other properties, MCU and otherwise, would take a page from this. Like, I thought it was like just really well done. But I don't really watch a lot of animation stuff anymore, but I just thought I was constantly impressed with it. And the storylines I thought were really fun, but we'll touch into those as we go around after our general synopsis.
It's funny you mentioned the choreography and everything, because the thing that I'm geeking out about has exactly to do with that in terms of live-action adaptation of animated stuff, which you guys probably already know what I want to talk about. But yeah, that's funny. I had no expectations going into this. I've learned in terms of Marvel stuff not to expect anything. And the first episode was freaking amazing. I loved it. Oh my gosh. Like Wes was saying, the animation style was amazing. The character development was fantastic. The arc of everything, like, it was great. I loved it. I'm like, yes, please, sir, may I have another? I thought it was great. The second episode, I was like, okay, that's awesome. It was basically a tribute to Chadwick Boseman,
yep,
which I was down for. It was basically like, I thought it was like, okay, this is a bunch of people, this is a bunch of artists getting together and saying, how can we make a tribute to Chadwick Boseman? And that episode, I think, was like a I thought it was like a fantastic nod to him as a person.
I mean, it wasn't supposed to be.
No, I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
kind of ended up being, yeah.
It's just considering the fact that he passed away and there's so many people that have such a connection to him, specifically as a person, not necessarily to his character, but just to him as a person. I thought it was very well done for somebody that recently passed away. I thought it was pretty fantastic. The third episode is when things started to go downhill for me, which we could talk about later. So I did not love 3 through 8, but wow, it kind of won me back in episode 9. So
I think that What If is probably the hardest thing for me to like singularly review. Because I mean, one, I had no expectation of either, like Wes, like you were saying, and even in the intro talking about a prism of endless possibilities, you know, going in with that being kind of like the intro into this world, it's hard to know if there is even a direction. I didn't know if there was going to be a through line between these episodes or if these were going to be standalone type of individual scenarios, which in some ways I kind of wanted, but I know that Marvel's MO right now is to have some sort of a cohesive universe where everything actually kind of matters in some way. And I kind of like the way they did it. But I also
so what you wanted was like a superhero version of Ballad of Buster Scruggs kind of thing.
I was wondering if you're going to bring that up. I don't think it's a matter of what I wanted. It's what I kind of thought they were going to do, or, you know, at least it would have made sense in some ways that this would be the venue to do that if they were going to do it. But
do you prefer that style over like a style, like having a through line through everything?
So the only reason why I even brought it up is that when you have a self-contained story, you don't have to worry about any other story responsibilities. You have a beginning and an end, and you don't have to worry about what came before and what came after in a lot of other ways. Other than we're taking this scenario and we're changing it based on this one kind of like pivot point, which I thought was really kind of cool. Like, here's things going along, and then here's where it breaks off. I really kind of like that idea because it reminds me of what I think that all of us have kind of done at some point. You know, what would have happened if this one thing didn't happen? What would have happened if I didn't get that one infection when I was a senior in high school? You know, I like that kind of scenario. But I mean, at the same time, you know, ignorance is bliss, because I didn't have, you know, I don't have a lot of knowledge of a lot of additional Marvel storylines, even with the movies. So I was able to kind of, you know, take it at face value. The only thing that, and I don't know if it entirely felt this way, but because as the story went on, things started to connect, and we know that this is considered canon in the Marvel Universe, that it seems like it still has some sort of agenda for connecting to the movie somehow, which I don't remember where it's been verified, but I'm pretty sure part of it does in some sense. I think it's with Doctor Strange. And because of that, some things might be a little bit more forced than they would have been otherwise. I don't know if it hurt the overall storyline or not, because I still enjoy the hell out of it. But yeah, so I have a hard time really talking about it from a negative perspective, because it was entertaining. I really did like it. Yeah, so pretty easy on my part.
Yeah, and as far as the self-containedness of each episode, the vast majority of the series, every episode was self-contained and didn't really have a through line until you got to the very end of the 7th out of the 9 total. So I thought from that perspective, they did a good job, and it did feel like they were like completely new stories and they could do different things. And they had like a lot of like really deep cuts, like they would like pull direct dialogue from the movies and like change one little thing or keep it exactly the same. Even it was like a new voice actor doing like Tony Stark's voice, which I thought the voice acting was phenomenal for the voices that were not the originals.
I quickly forgot it wasn't them.
Yeah, like they had the tone and intonation on except like the way one. They spoke. Spoke except for one, yeah.
Black Widow. One?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know why that one stood out to me more than any others.
Yeah.
I think Ultron stood out to me as not being David Spade. David Spade?
No.
Spader?
James Spader.
Yeah, that one.
What was your favorite episode, each guys? Mine, I'll start. Mine was my favorite episode or favorite sequence within an episode. Let's just say that. Mine was the fight scene between Party Thor and Captain Marvel. Like, I could have watched the entire series of that. It was great. Like, from the beginning of, you know, there's throwing stuff, you know, equipment at each other, and then just like the where they get knocked up into the atmosphere, and you see like the different cities or towns or whatever they fly to, or the different countries, kind of like comic book map style. I thought that was kind of fun, and it was cool to see her have somebody that she can kind of unleash on and not kind of pull punches, especially the scene where she smashes Ultron into basically the core of a planet. That was freaking awesome. So I just like seeing her powered up and be able to use her in that regard, because in the movies it always felt like she was pulling punches. Like, she could have taken out, I mean, she did take out an entire ship in Endgame, but she could have done a lot more if she was there earlier, you know. But she got to leave something for someone else to do, I guess. But what are some of you guys' favorite moments?
I think episode 8 was my favorite. And the fight between Ultron and the Watcher, I think, is one of the most satisfying fights I've ever seen, live action or not, on the screen. There was something about the pacing of it. And the I think I was probably dazzled a little bit by the colors and the effects. But I think it was probably one of the most pleasing things I've seen on screen.
My favorite episode.
Or sequence from an episode.
Seeing Captain Carter wield a sword, I thought was freaking awesome. Because I'm like, the dichotomy of Captain America having a shield and a gun was never sat right for me for the entire duration of what phase, whatever.
He is a soldier, though. I mean, it's kind of hard to...
I know. But, like, just, it's so arbitrary. But just the moment that Captain Carter has the shield, picks up a sword, I'm like, yes! Thank you for finally doing that.
That wasn't supposed to be a Black Knight reference, was it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, because it's like
sword, ethereal legend sword kind of stuff.
Yeah. No, I thought that moment was great. I chuckled so much at that moment because I'm like, finally, a sword with a shield. Thank you.
The pair you made in heaven.
Yeah. Yes, I also really liked seeing Loki. Loki is a frost giant.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yes, this is great. Now we get to see what would have happened to Loki. I loved that episode, basically because it reminded me of Ragnarok, which is still hands down my favorite Marvel film, and just the fun, non-serious nature of the storyline and everything that happens.
It was like Ferris Bueller's Day Off or some other 80s like show, right?
Funny enough, that was my least favorite episode.
Really?
That episode annoyed me.
He's like, gosh, Las Vegas doesn't look like that. I've been there 1,000 times.
I didn't care for it.
Just the heck, because I binged, because I stopped at episode 4 right before last week. When I binged the, like, everything, I just watched it all over again because I wanted to be prepared to talk about it last week before I dropped out. And so I binge watched everything. And 3 through 7 are heavy episodes. And so coming off that into episode 8 was a breath of much needed fresh air for that series. And so I think that's why I enjoyed it, because the contrast of what happened before that up to that point was, I liked it.
What do we think? So it's finished now. We're kind of waiting for the next Marvel movie and the next Disney Plus TV show to kind of keep the ball rolling for everything. What do you think the purpose of What If was? Because everything that we're watching, every movie, every TV show is really supposed to be carrying some sort of narrative along.
Yep.
So what was the purpose of What If?
Well, they started the multiverse conversation, not counting Enter the Spider-Verse. If you just count strictly like the Disney Plus or Disney, you know, MCU, Loki introduced the idea of multiple universes and having variants of a character, right? Getting the people that watch, like, get accepting that idea, like, oh, you can have a version of Thor that looks like this, or that's a alligator, or whatever, like the most extreme examples, and kind of setting that up, you know, for them to, for the next series to swing at. And then this one swung really hard and kind of really showed you the possibilities of What If, and just the concept of things, you know, existing at the same time, and that it doesn't mean that they're not canon, they're just another universe that has yet to have the story told about it.
Yeah, so it's, and one, so it's then one of those gonna, branches that we saw on the TVA or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then I think they're going to finish, they're going to continue that with the Multiverse of Madness, because that's another multi-universe jumping movie. So they're just sort of building it up. And I think also WandaVision sort of touched on a little bit of that as well, with the inclusion of the Pietro from the X-Men films, where it's like this, you know, a different, the same actor, but showing up as Ralph Boner or whoever, whatever the character he was. Like, I think that could be considered almost like a What If type of a multiverse thing, where it's like the same character that was it normally in X-Men in the other universe, film universe, is now, you know, not that character, but clearly to the audience there's a connection there that the audience, that the characters don't see. So it was almost like a fourth wall kind of universe break, I think, setting up, you know, kind of manipulating the expectations of the fans, what they thought he was going to be, being like Quicksilver. But I think that was sort of a hint to it as well,
just to gauge to see how people would react to that situation to figure yeah. out whether or not to do it again in the future.
Yeah, I mean, they totally trolled the audience for sure on that, which I didn't really care for. That was not very fun. But it doesn't mean that his version will never appear, because this is sort of telling you that different versions of Quicksilver, you know, are possible, not just the one that Joss Whedon killed off in the Avengers movie.
You know, it's funny that, like, with the proliferation of theory videos and speculation videos and, like, trailer breakdown videos and everything like that, that production companies have learned to milk it for all it's worth. And, oh my gosh, it's Marvel is, it's like a masterclass in trolling the yeah. audience.
If I hear about Mephisto one more time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Devils Although, in the details.
Kind of going off of that, I watched Film Theory talking about What If and how What If plays into the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And his theory in particular was that the Doctor Strange from What If is the Doctor Strange that we see in Spider-Man, not Multiverse of Madness. What is it?
No Way Home.
No Way Home. Yeah, I was like, it's not far from home. No Way Home. Because of the whole Eye of Agamotto, because Doctor Strange's Eye of Agamotto was destroyed in Endgame, and so if that's, did he get it back? And if he did, how? Or this is the Doctor Strange from What If, which I think would be intriguing, because like he pointed out, it would be a way to bring a Mephisto type character. I know you don't want to hear Mephisto, but to bring a Mephisto type character into the MCU without having to worry about Chinese censors. And yeah, everything that, too, that they do.
Yeah,
everything that they do has to be culture, has to be kosher to Chinese culture, otherwise they wouldn't do it, because that's their biggest market. So it's yeah. It was a theory that I think I could get behind. Most theories about stuff and people bringing stuff down and speculation of, you know, this, that, or the other, I really don't give it much thought, and I just don't put much weight behind it. But that one, I was like, okay, yeah, you have me sold. I'm picking up what you're putting down right now.
I mean, the whole Mephisto thing, because am I right in assuming you're talking about like the devil character, or like a devil type of,
yeah,
a figure? See, that's really tough though to fully ignore that, because you know you have demons and other things that are we know they're going to be part of other Marvel properties that really aren't too far away from that idea. You know, anything that's done with Blade or the Midnight Suns that's supposed to be mm-hmm. supposed to be coming, Ghost Rider,
yeah.
You're not going to be able to completely steer clear of that. Unless Mephisto, which I really don't know a whole lot about the character, is that much of a direct representation of the devil, which I actually don't know.
Well, it's just the iconography of it and the fact that
they can fix that.
Yeah, there's so much like superstition and whatnot around devils and ghosts and everything like that in their culture anyway, that they need to find a way to steer clear of it. I mean, the ancient one in the comic book is Tibetan, but because of China's relationship with Tibet, when they brought the ancient one into Doctor Strange in the MCU, they made it a white lady because it's more palatable.
No, well, there was actually a couple different reasons on that one. That one wasn't just China. Yeah. That was
I know.
They were trying to tread carefully with Asian stereotypes too, yeah. Which, you know, it's going to bite them either way. Oh, no, you're whitewashing characters now. Well, we were trying to do this. Well, it backfired. It's, you know, it's at some point, I think they just need to tell the story that needs to be told.
Which is one of the reasons why I did like Shang-Chi so much, was the fact that it was a majority Chinese cast playing Chinese people and speaking Chinese.
but even in that movie, Disney changed some things that were originally in the comic books, like mm-hmm. The original villain is Fu Manchu, which, you know, this awkward Asian stereotype that, you know, yeah. has been in, you know, Western TV for a long time. I don't think, you know, I think it made sense to use the Mandarin instead because it was already an established character, but I don't know.
I think the reason why people keep talking about Mephisto is the fact that it's like we don't have a clear baddie yet for this phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Feels like it's failing.
Because like before there was, you know, end credit scenes. Like we knew early on that Thanos was going to be the big baddie of what, phase one and phase two of the MCU. And this one, like we don't know. It could be Mephisto. It could be Galactus. It could be Spawn. It could be not Spawn. Spawn? Maybe. No. Different universe. It could be somebody. We don't know yet. But I think that leaves a lot of people opportunity to speculate. And Mephisto seems to be the number one speculative person of choice when it comes to the new big bad of the MCU.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it was Kang, but yeah, sure.
See, but we had like
I was going to mention Kang too, but the thing is that we've seen one mention of him in one Disney Plus show, and then we also have White Vision floating around because I don't know what he's called. We have Wanda there having, you know, nightmares about her kids that never really existed. I don't think we have a lot of grounding. I'm hoping that the Eternals I'm thinking that the Eternals is actually going to kind of set a foot in the ground of here's what's going on.
Is that the next one that comes out? Is Eternals?
Yep. Beginning of next month. Yeah,
2 days before my birthday.
If only we could have a watch party. That would be an awesome birthday party.
Yep.
With Eternals being so close in what, 2 weeks? 2 weeks? Eternals being so close, like this is a conversation that can carry over into, you know, whatever we find out in Eternals.
I suppose so. But I don't think we're actually fully done with What If though either.
Nope, there's another season.
There's that really? Too. Yeah.
Yeah, they confirmed that before this one ended. Yeah, there's going to be a second season. Because for a couple different reasons, there was an episode of this season
that was cut
that they removed. Yeah. If you notice that they show you a Gamora character that you never really saw before in the season finale. Like she had some interactions with a version of Tony Stark. You're like, where did she come from?
And Stark's armor had some very interesting markings on it.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole, she was wearing Thanos' whole getup.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So there's a missing episode somewhere?
Yeah, there are a couple different theories as to why it was moved. The one I heard was like either COVID production delays or COVID storyline. I'm not sure which one is the winner there, but like something that had a virus storyline in it, but I don't know. I heard COVID, but I don't remember the specifics on that.
Interesting.
I'm kind of tired of that. Just give us our stories.
Yeah. I really like how they pulled Zola in, because he's like one of my favorite characters. That it's underutilized. I love that. Yeah. And
wait, refresh my memory.
The Nazi AI that was, you know, the person, scientist that converted to the green screen. Yeah. So I actually want to build one of those, like get an old crappy monitor and like put a Raspberry Pi on it and have him on a shelf behind me. Have like the glitchy like face. I think that'd be
ASCII animation.
Yeah, I would love that.
I love that idea of like the old analog, semi-analog technology, still having this huge power and relevance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was cool. There's just a couple little moments like that I thought were pretty well done. I did think that Ultron, being as powerful as he was, they dispatched him pretty easily. I would have liked to have been like a couple episodes struggle at least. I know sort of he was in two episodes because of he fought the Watcher in the 8th episode and then 9, you know, it was all out battle. But I don't know. I could have gone for a little bit more. But I'm looking forward to the next season. So let's touch back on the notion of if it should or shouldn't be having like kid friendly content or themes or things like that. And what parts did you think were too nightmare inducing?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you said directly that you didn't think it was appropriate for your kids.
Well, yeah, because it started freaking them out when like Avengers were exploding in goop and animated pseudo-gore.
Pseudo-gore? When he like turned into like green mist or something? Yeah.
Yeah. And the zombie one especially. Like, they did play it a little lighthearted.
I thought that was funny.
For a zombie flick. Having Happy be like, pew, pew, as a zombie. I was like, oh my gosh.
That was funny.
That made me laugh. But that said, like, still, it's zombies, and my son was like, I'm not scared, this doesn't scare me, and both my girls were like, no, I don't want to watch it. But it's just starting in episode 3, I feel like there was a guy in the writer's room that was like, okay, in this episode, what if everyone dies? And then the next episode is the same guy that's like, okay, for this episode, what if everyone dies? And then for the next episode, the same guy is, I got an idea, like raising his hand in the back. What if in this episode, everyone dies? And that theme of like, okay, we're seeing, yes, everyone dead. Okay, now we're seeing another universe where everyone is going to die. Oh, in this universe, everyone is going to die? Great. In the next universe, is everyone going to die? That, and just the constant like morbidity of it, I think was just too much for my kids.
So I hear this every now and then, and you know, I know my kids are a little bit older, so maybe I'm a little bit biased in this, but I'm trying to think at what point it was, you know, any of the stuff was ever meant for kids.
I mean, superheroes have always been meant for kids. We tried to ground them, and we tried to make them like gritty and realistic, but the silliness of superheroes has always been for kids.
Since when?
I think. I mean, there's...
You have adults that have always written these stories.
No, I know.
I think the main audience, although kids have gotten into comics because they look like they should be meant for kids, even like cartoons originally. Cartoons were not originally meant for kids. I think that it's tough because you have this format which appears fun and colorful, But when you look a little bit closer at the content, most of it really was never meant for kids, even like the movies. You know, I think we let kids watch it because it's fantastical and fun and, you know, an adventure. But if you look a little bit closer at the themes, you know, they weren't meant for kids. I mean, take a look at even the first Iron Man movie. Tony Stark philandering, drinking, self-destructive. Sounds like a great time for kids. I don't think any of this was really meant for kids. I think it's always been 13 and up.
But that being said, it is marketed directly, specifically, and purposely at kids.
I think it's marketed at us.
Walk into a toy store. Walk,
and
like,
we're very
go
much
to
still
Halloween
kids.
Next week. How many Marvel characters are going to be in, like, kids are going to dress up as? It's like the 80s and 90s when, like, RoboCop, you could buy, like, little kid toys for, like, RoboCop and Predator and...
Sure, but that,
that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, but as adults, like, now, we should know better, right?
No, I know.
Nope, not at all.
But it's so funny because it's like the Black Widow movie was not a great movie, but there was one really poignant, like, scene in that movie that I loved that Marvel has never really fully talked about, in that the conversation that Black Widow and her sister are having in that little convenience store where they're talking about, like, all the things that Black Widow's done and all the things that her sister's done. And she's like, yeah, but, you know, I'm not the mass murderer that, you know, little girls call their superhero. And it's like, that's very poignant.
Yeah, that was also a reminder to the parents that this is not meant for kids.
I know. But it's like, it's not that I want to expose them to, like, stuff like this. Because, like, my kids are 2, 7, and 9. They're still little. And they're not going to be little for that much longer. And being able to keep them little for maybe a little bit longer, I'm okay with that. But wanting to, like, throw the world at them, I think, is a little too soon. But I do, like, I enjoy this kind of stuff. And it is nice sometimes to have things that we can enjoy together. And because of the animated nature of this show, and like I said, the first episode is fantastic. Like, we all loved it. We thought it was great. It was funny. It was, like, there was action in it. Like, there was, like, monsters, and they fought the monsters. And my little 3-year-old, like, watching the movie, got out her sword, and she was, like, pretending to fight monsters, just like she was seeing on the screen. And so I thought it was one of these things that we could enjoy together. But that said, I learned very quickly that my kids are an age that they're still not ready for that yet.
Do you ever read up on Common Sense Media?
Mm-mm. Wait. Yeah, I do check it for, like, rating guidelines and things like that. Because
you
the
should
parents
check it for all the Marvel stuff, too.
On IMDb is hit and miss sometimes. But, yeah, I don't know. I understand the world is what it is, and my content is what it is, but it's hard gauging things sometimes, because sometimes stuff is made for kids and is appropriate for kids, and sometimes stuff looks like it's made for kids and is not appropriate for kids.
You know, we're the ones at fault. You know that, right?
Mm, yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
But I'm saying it mainly because of our generation, not because we're simply because we're parents. You know, our generation, what we grew up with, and the things that we love, and I think we're almost desperate to want to share this with our kids and share that passion. And the stuff is being made for us, being 30 and 40 year old adults, but then we turn around saying, you know what, I want to share this experience, when we probably should, you know, give it a second thought sometimes.
Yeah. See, that was the one thing about growing up, is I didn't have a lot that I could share with my parents in terms of, like, pop culture and things like that. But, like, being an adult now and having little kids that age, like, being able to share stuff together is, it's a really cool bonding experience.
The stuff my dad shared with me is 10 times worse than any Marvel movie. Growing up watching Dirty Harry and Charles Bronson and Chuck Norris.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I think we're doing okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how I managed to watch RoboCop when I was younger. I don't know who allowed that.
I watched Revenge of the Nerds when I was 10.
Is that a bad movie? I haven't seen it. Is it bad?
Oh, as a 10-year-old, I thought it was great.
Oh.
I learned a lot about human anatomy in that afternoon.
Oh my gosh.
Nothing you didn't learn from a Neverending Story. The giant statue boobies.
Oh, like, you learned a little bit more. And I also learned that, hey, I really want to go to college.
That's what I did it for you.
That and Real Genius. Those two movies. I'm like, if that's what college is like, sign me up.
Weird Science.
College is both better and worse than those movies.
Yeah, as critical as I may seem of it sometimes, like, I still watched it. I still enjoyed it. I still chuckled at parts. I still laughed at parts. Like, I was still entertained. And that was kind of the whole point and purpose of it, right? Be entertained?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Talking about next season, do you think they're going to do a... obviously, the post-credit scene lent... Like, it was basically hinting that Steve Rogers was coming back as the Hydra Stomper. Did you see the post-credit scene?
Wait, what? What?
You missed that? There was a post-credit scene.
Yep.
Which you failed episode? To watch it? Episode 9?
Yes.
Oh, see, Disney Plus, like, there's 11 minutes of credits for every episode, something like that. So when the credits start rolling,
so spoiler alert, okay, so
like goes the little small screen.
So yeah, they get Peggy and they're like, hey, we got something to show you on this base or the part of the storage or whatever that we uncovered on the ship. And they go and there's like this crate that's got like a computer terminal and stuff. It's clearly like something's happening in there. And she looks at the window and there's like a status monitor that shows like a heartbeat. And it's the Hydra Stomper robot.
He survived.
In the crate. Yeah, so Steve Rogers is still alive. And she's like, shows it like hope in her eyes. Like, oh, he's still alive? Oh, man. So they're doing like a, when I think they're going to do like a Winter Soldier-y kind of thing where he's been under Hydra control and he's going to be brainwashed like Winter Soldier was. Because the scene, they had the scene with him on the train, similar to how Bucky got, you know, wiped out or whatever. In the episode, he saved Bucky, but I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to do a reversal kind of thing where he's going to be the brainwashed person that Peggy's going to have to save.
In episode 1, when Bucky's like, you almost ripped my arm off.
Yeah.
It's like,
I loved all those guys. They were great.
Oh, my goodness.
And the music for the series, I really like too. I thought they did a great job pulling the different themes for the different characters, and it was top notch, I thought.
You know, it's not in Marvel's common practice to explain things that they do, but I think that sometimes there's a little bit of explanation needed. And I know the intro for the show is supposed to be their explanation, but because this is animated, I think that there almost needs to be a little bit more explanation that this is not some weird side animated series that is separate from the MCU. This is part of it. And I think that because it's animated, even though it's done in a somewhat realistic fashion, I think it's easy to separate the two when they're not supposed to be. And I think that causes issues for people too, that they watch like, I don't know what this is supposed to be. And there has to be something saying that, you know, even though this is animated, you're supposed to imagine as if these are actually real people, that this is the real MCU universe, and you know, the prism of these different possibilities. I think that the animated choice was like, I don't know if it, because What If was a comic book series, right? They've actually done this before in the comics. Okay, so I mean, yeah. it has precedent.
That's a good point. You think that if Captain Carter shows up in live action, it's the same character that we've already seen in What If? It'll just be a live action version, or are they going to do a cartoon version, like of her, a cartoon character in the live action, similar to what they did for Peter Porker for the Enter the Spider-Verse?
So like, it's like
he was a cartoon Roger character. Rabbit? Yeah, are they going to do like? Probably not, but I mean, there's our precedent already, right? With Peter Porker being the cartoony character in, like, I know they were all cartoons essentially in there, but they were like rendered to look more realistic, and he was clearly a different style/universe. So it's interesting to think about.
I think that'd be a really, really tough thing to do, and you would have to have an incredible room of writers to really make that work. Because it was talked about even for the next Spider-Man movie with No Way Home, where you're gonna, it's basically confirmed that you're gonna have multiple versions of Spider-Man. And at one point it was even rumored, I don't think it's true, but you'd have like Miles Morales from you know the Spider-Verse movie in. Do you bring him in as an animated character, or you bring him in as an actual real person? I don't know if there's a really good way to do that as an animated character in the movie. I think it's almost, it would take me out of the moment, I think, unless there's a way to do it that kind of like surpasses my understanding of the story.
Miss Minutes was animated, and she was like, you know, they sort of explained it in the fact that she was like generated by a computer or some sort of AI or something. But that was like,
you're absolutely right.
Example of that.
But so I almost,
interesting.
I don't know why, but in my mind, I consider that one different, almost like a hologram mm-hmm. type
right,
thing.
Right.
But maybe I'm just making excuses for it already being done and already accepting
maybe,
it.
Maybe the hologram is the way they'll explain it, or maybe they'll just be it within a screen of some kind or a projection of some kind to explain why they look that way.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they can stay within it. I don't know. It's interesting to think about.
It is. I think it's possible. It's beyond my understanding of story and writing of how you would solve that problem.
Miles isn't a Disney property, though, is he?
Sony, technically.
I know. They've licensed Spider-Man. I didn't know they licensed Miles.
Well, I don't know if they have.
Yeah.
They've
a Spider-Man spinoff, yeah.
Yeah, they've referenced it in the very first Spider-Man movie. Donald Glover's character is supposed to be the uncle to Miles Morales.
He said he had a nephew, yeah.
Yeah, that lives near
they
here.
They never mentioned him, okay. But everybody knows who that's supposed to be.
No. Forgot about that.
I like everything that's been put out in the last year from Marvel. I think everything is fun, it's entertaining. I think they're far from perfect for a lot of different reasons, but I still kind of feel like I kind of feel like my feet are still not on the ground yet for this phase. And I don't know if that's the result of the pandemic of the last year and a half, or if it's by design, because everything seemed a lot clearer in some ways in the first three phases. And right now, I don't know which way is up. We've been introduced to a couple different potential scenarios. We have the multiverse. We have Kang. We have the coming of the Eternals, which is a really big difference. We have Adam Warlock, who's this cast for the next Guardians movie. So we have all this stuff coming down the pipeline that we're aware of. But I don't know like what the current rules or laws are of the current universe. And that makes it tough. As an audience member.
Yeah, after December, we'll have a different story to talk about. You know, we'll have a different scenario. Like, I think they'll establish what's happening.
I do, too. Hopefully. Well, we'll have three things to talk about, though, too, because we have the Hawkeye series, we have Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
and we have Eternals.
Yep.
We'll have to wait a little bit longer for Doctor Strange, because I heard that just got pushed back, although I don't know how far it got pushed back. Yep.
Mm. There's a lot coming out, finally.
Yes.
Yeah, there is. And a lot of stuff that's still been pushed back. So what... go ahead. I was going to transition into geeking out about.
Geeking out, yeah. That's what I was transitioning to.
Okay.
Look how seamless that was. So good.
It felt like it was about time for that, so...
My geek out, I have two things. First is Lower Decks. Fantastic series finale, super hilarious. I enjoyed that. If you're not watching it and you like Star Trek, you are doing yourself a disservice. It was very funny, very good. The other one, I saw Venom, Let There Be Carnage, a couple days ago, I guess, last weekend. And overall, I didn't really have high expectations, and overall the movie was okay. It was fine. If you like the first movie, you probably would like the second. And I didn't really love the first one, but I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. So it's just a fun popcorn kind of geek out thing. But even if you're not super interested in it, you should stick around for the post-credit scenes. And you need to watch it soon because you're going to miss out on something that is going to be referenced. I kind of want to talk about it. I really do. And the movie's been out for a few weeks. It's not that much of a spoiler, right?
Well, actually, it was in a very, very rare circumstance. I let Wes kind of spoil it for me.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad. Yeah. I wasn't disappointed by it. But yeah. for anybody else that is into the universe, I would also recommend watching, even though I didn't see it, but recommend watching it because the end credit scene I think is worth watching.
Well, how about this? I'm going to give a look. Since this is our show, we can talk about whatever we want, right? I'll just give a preface here. I'll say, if you don't want to hear about Venom, go ahead and drop out right now because I'm going to talk about the end credit scene. It is pertinent to our conversation right now.
Once again, spoiler.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. You haven't. But do you think you have a chance to see it? Do you have an interest of seeing it?
Not really. Okay. I can probably guess what
you can guess. You can guess, and you're probably going to be right.
Based on your implications and your reaction and everything,
yep.
My guess would be that he is in the MCU now.
Correct.
Kind of.
I mean, yeah, he is. He is.
So does Spider-Man show up in the end credits scene? Is that...
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it turns out that Sony likes money is really what it comes down to.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
It's the thing people were hoping for.
That shouldn't be a surprise at all.
I thought it was cool. Too many bad guys in the next Spider-Man movie. You can't bring in Venom.
No,
they're going to do a Sinister Six thing. They have to have at least six bad guys.
It's supposed to
be that way.
Yeah.
Really?
How can you do the Sinister Six without six bad guys? It's in the name.
You have to remember that...
Hold on. Sinister Six was Doc Ock, Shocker... Mm-hmm. Vulture.
Yep. He's still around. Yep. Rhino. Could be Rhino.
Venom.
They've changed it around here and there.
Who's the other one?
It could be Electro. Electro's been confirmed.
Mysterio. No, Mysterio.
I don't know. I think it's different between different talents. They change it.
They're going to count to six. They're going to pick six and do six.
Man.
And remember that they were on their way to doing this. Mm-hmm. With the Andrew Garfield series. The end of the second movie was Spider-Man and Rhino about to go head-to-head and then roll credits, and they never picked up. I think that this is them picking up.
And there are also lots of references in the background. They went through like some facility or something, and they had like Doc Ock's tentacles, and they had Vulture's wings and lots of other things. So they're clearly hinting, and the Lizard was in it, and just all kinds of...
Oh, the Lizard. That was the other one.
I hate the Lizard.
So boring. Yeah. But yeah, I'll give you the short premise for the end credits thing. So at the very end, so through the whole movie, Venom would like his head would come out of what's his name?
Tom Hardy.
Brock. Eddie Brock's body. It would like come out as a tendril, and you see the head there talking to him. But also they would talk to each other like out loud. So he would hear Venom's voice in his head, and he would just respond out loud, and they would communicate that way. So there's a scene at the very end where they're in a hotel room, and they're laying in a bed, and they're just watching some TV shows or whatever, talking about stuff. And Venom brings up the fact that he's...
Like you do. You
know, as you do. I mean, and he's just, like, saying, like, I've been on so many adventures and so many things and different realities and different universes.
Venom's saying this.
He's like, okay. I've been to so many different universes and planets. You wouldn't believe the stuff I've seen. If I told you, it would basically break your stupid human brain. And Eddie Brock's like, whatever, bring it on. Let's see what you got. And he's like, okay, here we go. And then as soon as he says that, the room goes, and it like changes. And even Venom's like, what the heck was that? What's going on? And like the bed that they were laying on is still a bed, but the hotel environment changed. And now there were things on the bed that weren't there before, and they're like, that's weird. And the show they were just watching, they're not showing the screen, but you hear the audio in the background. That changes as well. And now you all of a sudden hear J. Jonah Jameson talking. And he's like, this menace of the Spider-Man, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, what? Yes, I'm like getting excited watching this, you know, in the seat. And Venom's still confused, like, what the heck, what was that? Why are things different? And then another new image shows up on the screen, and it pans over as Venom pays attention to the screen, and it's Tom Holland in the Spider-Man suit with his mask ripped off, where like J. Jonah Jameson is like revealing the identity as Peter Parker, right? Like in the second Spider-Man movie. It's like that sequence where it's in that. Remember how he came on the post-credit scene?
So what would the blah, 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 thing have been?
Basically, he like he jumped into another universe. He went from the Sony Venom specific movie universe and somehow transported, or the universe changed around him. He didn't expect it to. He expected to blow the guy's mind, but instead something happened coincidentally at that time. I'm not sure. They don't really explain it.
Mm.
But they're clearly like kind of like it's a variant of the room they were in. Now they're in a different room. And so he's like, oh, that guy. I know that guy. Oh, this is going to be fun or something like or along those lines. And Venom's tongue licks out and licks the screen with like Tom Holland across his face. You know, like this is, you know, this is gonna be interesting. And so then that's kind of the end of it. And I'm like, holy crap, that's awesome. And as I was talking to my buddy after we watched it, I realized that Venom is like going to be like a constant, since he's familiar with crossing between universes. As he said specifically, he went to different universes in that end credit scene. He's going to be kind of like the, there's a word out that's escaping me, but he's going to be the constant. Where the universe is changing, but he's going to understand what's happening, and he's going to be part like of the exposition. Yeah, a bridge. Yeah, between them. And so I think he is going to have recollection of infecting Tobey Maguire's version of Spider-Man, because the symbiote is apparently going to be the same. That's my theory. So he's going to remember infecting that variant of Spider-Man and doing all this, the Spider-Man 3 emo crap, when he infected him and all the sequences of Venom, and then he left that universe for whatever reason, and now this is a continuation of that entity. So he's going to have all those recollections. I think he's going to be part of the exposition to explain how different Spider-Man are going to be connected to each other. That's my theory.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm excited. So I enjoyed the movie a decent amount.
So at least like, they did something.
They did something to finally
fix some of this.
The end credit scene was actually worthwhile, where the last couple have been somewhat disappointed. Remember when they used to be like they had stakes, or they had actually something to like really have a conversation about? This is that now, which is great.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I can see how people will get annoyed because they thought it was a standalone universe and forget tie-ins, which I know sometimes some people don't like the tie-ins, but I love the tie-ins.
I think Venom needs the tie-in, though. I mean, I saw the first movie, and it was better than I thought it was going to be. It's still not my favorite, but I watched it a second time because my son's going to be seeing the sequel this coming weekend, and he hadn't seen it before, so we watched it again. And it was entertaining. It was enjoyable. It wasn't great by any means, but I think that Venom still needs that, because otherwise it's kind of confusing. This character that's usually painted as a villain now almost has this weird anti-hero quality to him. So it'll be interesting to see the character's place in the bigger universe.
Yep.
The Deadpool effect. Rise of the anti-hero.
I think Venom is like a placeholder until they figure out how to bring Deadpool in there too.
Although Spider-Man and Deadpool together would be fantastic.
They've already had Korg and Deadpool in a promo video together.
Yep.
So why not?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And he was riffing on how like Disney owns everything and yada yada yada, so it's self-referential.
Mm-hmm.
So Don, what are you geeking out about?
I'm geeking out about Cowboy Bebop. The trailer for the live action movie came out, and it was so well done. It was so well done that even my wife, who hates anime, was like, okay, I could get into this. And I loved the show. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I remember watching Cowboy Bebop, and I loved Cowboy Bebop. And I'm always apprehensive when they try to make anime into live action because it does not translate over well. I'm trying to think of any instance in which it's translated over well. If I think of any, I'll let you know. But until
Matrix?
Then,
I don't know.
It wasn't originally an anime, though, was it?
No.
It felt like it should have been.
It's based on all the anime tropes, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, if you haven't seen the trailer, go out and watch it. It is so creative.
It's interesting.
And so, so fun. I am cautiously optimistic for the show. I also watched the trailer for Uncharted today, which I love the Uncharted games. Nathan Drake is one of my favorite video game characters of all time. That said, Tom Holland is not Nathan Drake. No, hashtag not my Nathan Drake. I think it's going to be like Tomb Raider. It'll be entertaining, but it won't be anything more than that. And the problem is I want it to be way more than that. But I would be geeking out about Uncharted, but I don't see it.
He just doesn't have enough of a presence as a lead in that one role, I think.
Well, it's the nature of Nathan Drake and the the snarkiness of Nathan Drake, which Tom Holland plays Spider-Man as Nathan Drake and not Nathan Drake. Because Spider-Man is already a quippy enough character. Nathan Drake is quippy, but...
Did you say a thwippy?
Quippy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thwippy. But, like, Nathan Drake is a quippy character, but it's not the same. And trying just... Not smart casting, I don't think, but I could be proven wrong. I'm willing to give them that benefit of the doubt. But
you think it should have been Nathan Fillion?
That's the problem, though.
It was always Nathan Fillion.
Yeah. Fan casting, yeah.
Well, I mean, not even that, but the character Nathan Drake was supposed to be Nathan Fillion. I mean, they look identical. I think that was done intentionally with the hope that character would play it in a live-action movie someday, but it never happened.
Well, it's kind of funny with, like, The Boys, how in the comic book The Boys, the main character was Simon Pegg, and it was always Simon Pegg. And the conversation around if they ever turned the Boys into live action, it would be Simon Pegg. And once they got around to actually bringing The Boys into live action, it wasn't Simon Pegg, although Simon Pegg did play a cameo in that, which I thought was appropriate. But it was just, yeah. Nathan Fillion was always supposed to be Nathan Drake. It's always. What are you geeking out about, Sean? Anything?
I am geeking out about flying. I finally picked up Microsoft Flight Simulator because it went on sale on Steam. So if anybody's interested, the top version, which I forget what it's called, Premium Deluxe Special, whatever it's called, is also on sale. It's expensive as a game goes, but I think it'll be worth it once I get it fired up. And now I have to save up some money to buy the official flight stick so I can do all that and practice flying.
Is this like a current version of Microsoft Flight Simulator? Yeah. Like, is it still? It is still make.
Oh yeah, it is massive and it is gorgeous and it is impressive and intimidating all at the same time. It uses live, what's it called? Not Google Earth, but Microsoft's version of it, I guess. A live Earth for actually generating the terrain and everything in the world.
Really?
Yeah, and the other when you're playing, supposedly when you see other planes, those are real planes in the real world using real time data. So
that's scary.
Well, I mean, supposedly, and I have another friend that plays it, so I'm hoping that once I learn actually how to fly, because the realism is really intimidating there, that we can maybe do some joint flights and stuff.
So is the end game for this going to be you becoming a pilot?
That's like a bucket item list. I honestly don't think I'll ever do it, but it's something I've always wanted to do.
Or is this more the end game of being like building your own simulator?
Call it both.
Okay, cool.
We hope that you've enjoyed the show tonight, and we'd actually love to hear from all of you. You can go to our website, makinguse.com, and on the contact page, you can leave us any comments or suggestions of the show. We're always looking for feedback from the audience and topics you'd like us to explore. And on the homepage of the site, you can listen to all of our past episodes right there at makinggeeks.com.
And we'd also like to thank our patrons over at patreon.com/makinggeeks for helping us keep the lights on here at the show with their contributions every time we release an episode. They help us a lot. And if you would like to be one of those patrons, head over there, and you could be among the top ranks, such as Clinton or Square Splinter or Jordan. You guys are the top patrons, and we appreciate you. Thank you.
Have they fought over that spot yet since we last commented on it?
Nope, it's still Jordan. Okay. He's the top. He's the toppest of the top.
Knock him out, guys. You can do it. I believe in you. Hey, if you have comments about our own opinions or our projects or ideas or whatever, you can reach us individually if you don't want to reach us as a group. If you want to talk to Wes, you can find him over at Geeksmithing. If you want to talk to Sean, you can find him at Geek Builders. And myself, you can find it Once Upon a Workbench.
We'd like to thank everybody for joining us in the live chat. It's always fun having that conversation going on the side while we're recording, and always end up being a little bit more fodder for the show as well. You can find new episodes of the show every Saturday morning on your favorite podcast player of choice. So from all of us to all of you, ponder those possibilities, and we'll see you next week.
Take care. See you guys.
May I help you? This is real human speaking, not robot.